Okay. I want to talk to you today about the application of games processing in utilizing material in Scientology in general. As you are well aware, Scientology contains quite a few tenets about this and that. It'd be very hard to develop a science of life without embracing life. We do the very odd and peculiar thing of bringing a lot of unconfusion into the confusion of life. The principles of Scientology, however, are very broad, if rather precise. And there's an awful lot of it. I can assure you that there's a tremendous amount of it. There is the upper echelon material of Scientology. It's contained in Scientology 8008. And as furthered as a supplement to that book in the Philadelphia Lectures of 1952. Long time back. But those 64 hours of lecture are actually a supplement to Scientology 8008. What they don't take up on the upper echelon really isn't worth knowing in terms of Scientology. But the material has no immediate application, or you already know it. We have actually taken out of this material and are using and are relating to you most of the material which you need, basically, in both understanding life and in processing prequels. Now let's take this little item about space. What's space? Space is the viewpoint of dimension. First definition man has had for space. What's time? Time's a consideration. What's the anatomy of the consideration? Know and not know. That's time. What's energy? Energy is a postulate which contains the additional postulate. There's some space for it to exist in the additional postulate that you can see it. That's what energy is. What's a confusion? Confusion is a consideration that something is confusing. How is a confusion remedied? By introducing into it a stable datum. Since it is a consideration, all of the particles in a confusion are each one of them a consideration, which in its turn, for orientation, need a stable consideration on which to orient themselves. If you introduce into any confusion the stable datum that one of the particles in that confusion is motionless, then all the confusion is moving in relationship to that motionless particle, do you see? If you think traffic is confusion itself, fix your attention on one particle in the confusion of traffic, and the traffic will cease to be, to a marked degree, confusing, you see? You say all traffic is related to that moving car. It's very easy to say it's moving in relationship to that lorry or that bus. And say, well, there it is. The oddity is that particles of a luminous gas, for instance, appear to be confusing until you fix your attention on one particle in the cloud and say all particles are moving in relationship to this particle. That's the way to unconfuse that mass. Well, now, on a higher consideration level, a confusion is simply postulate, counter-postulate, postulate, counter-postulate, postulate, counter-postulate, or postulate, counter-postulate, 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 counter-postulate. Get the idea? Now, we get this down along the line of choice. We would say choice, counter-choice, counter-choice, counter-choice. Now, we get it on decision, and we would say decision, counter-decision, 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 and we get it down at a lower level, and we would get orders. And it would be order, counter-order, 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 counter-order. Now, that is well within our reality. We know that if we were issued a dozen orders consecutively, each one of which contradicted the last orders, we would have a confusion. The funny part of it is we generally obsessively somehow or another, mock this up as mass, and we actually feel as though we were in a cloud or something. We resist these things and so make solids with our resistance. You see, we make a facsimile by either trying to hold something to us, by which we get the backside of the facsimile and a print of the object on the side away from us, or restraining something from reaching us, by which we get the print of the front of it, and usually the back of it is black. Now, there's the manufacturing plant of a facsimile. Now, we get a facsimile coming in, a facsimile going away, and a facsimile coming in, and a facsimile going away, and then several facsimiles traveling at right angles. We would have a confusion of masses, pictures, and so forth. If we tried to restrain all of the confusion from being a confusion, completely aside from having restrained the original articles, now we try to restrain the confusion, we get what we call a ridge. There's no reason for you to be upset about a ridge. A ridge is a standing wave electronically. It can be measured. It does have mass. And a lot of people don't have any ridges around them at all. They're negative ridge. They're generally on a not-have basis, too. But they don't have any ridges around them. They don't see this phenomena. A lot of other people have lines. The GE quite occasionally has gold lines or... And sometimes these goal lines turn black, going into the past and going to masses and ridges and so on. All kinds of remarkable energy patterns, any one of which is capable of appearing to be a confusion. Any one of which. We get a confusion of lines. Where do they go? What are they attached to? All these lines go out and then there's nothing beyond there. We ask the Thetan to do something about the line. He all of a sudden finds a mass beyond there. This is confusing itself. There's nothing there. There's something there. There's nothing there. There's something there. Another kind of confusion. All right. These ridges, when they start to come apart, very often come apart into a considerable confusion, as you may have experienced. You start getting pretty clear, running admiration, which is a very solvent particle. And the next thing you know, he feels confused. Why does he feel confused? That's because he partly took apart one of these things called an energy ridge. And by the way, one's head is simply an energy ridge. I mean, the bone and muscle and brain and his shoulders are, too. These things are solid ridges, you see, by postulate and consideration. And you start to take these things apart, and you can. You get coming out of this mass confusions. Well, I told you in an earlier lecture concerning... A to B to C to D to E to F to G. In other words, terminal to terminal to terminal to terminal. This is a communication sequence confusion. And very often when those things come apart, they start to talk and they start to give counter orders and so on. In other words, they do what they did originally. In other words, we could have all sorts of energy patterns which were confusions. We could have all sorts of postulates and thoughts which were confusions. And you could also, at the lower end of the scale, have a great many masses which were confusions. Well, how about spaces that are confusions? Well, the mathematician deals with these a great deal. He talks about three-dimensional space with ease. Of course, that's a viewpoint of dimension and a factual thing. And then he'll start talking about four-dimensional space. Oh, yeah? And then he'll talk about five-dimensional space, and about that time he's so confused he can't even go on and do anything about it. But this is the confusion of spaces. Now, one of the greatest confusion of spaces is to have only one space. Of course, all confusions go to the infinite of becoming one. Well, you draw a circle which starts with unit one, and it would get more and more and more and more and more to it, you see. And when it got too many connected with it, more or less randomly connected with it, you would have a confusion, and then the confusion would get more and more confusing and more and more confusing. We'd be traveling up. If you look at a clock face with one at 1 o'clock, we would come back to 1 o'clock again, and we would have an infinity of confusion, which would be one. Right. And that is the cycle of a confusion. Very often you take a confusion, you can condense it, you see, and it becomes apparently one. Now we start tampering with this one, and it suddenly comes apart into a confusion. Right. Well, this happens with masses, but it, oddly enough, happens with spaces. A confusion of one sounds like a misnomer. But it is not a misnomer. And you should take this definitely into your consideration. A datum can be evaluated only by data of comparable magnitude. We can understand cops by understanding criminals. You understand? They used to talk about God understanding of comparable datum, the devil. No matter who comes along and tries to give us the idea of one anything, somebody then, to understand it at all, has to have a datum of comparable magnitude. To understand it in part, there is another trick. A datum can be understood in part by observing a datum of gradient magnitude. You can find its order of type and then take a small thing, and by understanding all the parts of the small thing, understanding that it contains the elements of the large thing, we discover the constitution of the large thing. Now, we do this with games. We can look at a game, we can inspect it, and we know what its parts are. But life is pretty big to look at. As I told you at the beginning of the lecture, we have an enormous amount of data. What of it is important? Well, we look at the microcosm, the small piece, and so understand, and quite well, by the way, the macrocosm. The chief discovery here is that games belongs on the gradient scale of life and apparently contains all elements that life itself contains. See, here's something that belonged on its gradient scale. So we're understanding life at large by a datum of gradient magnitude. Now, that's new. Instead of comparable magnitude, just as big as, it's also possible. That's quite a discovery, by the way. Although the yin and the yang and the macrocosm and microcosm and so forth have been trying to say this for a long time. Let's say it so it could be understood. Gradient magnitude. It's down a sequence of types, and all of a sudden down at the end of the line, why, we've got something that contains all the elements of the large thing. We understand the little thing, and we understand the large thing. Now, that is not understood or part of, really, the macrocosm and microcosm. They understand something else, the yin and the yang, so on. These are different things. So this one's peculiar. This is a peculiar thing to Scientology. And all it is a refinement of a datum to be understood. Must be evaluated by a datum of comparable magnitude. We add one to that. We can also understand this datum, if not quite so well, by a datum of gradient magnitude. It's as all the parts, but there it is. And you have an awful time understanding the physical universe. An awful time understanding the physical universe. Why? It's one space. Where's the space of comparable magnitude? Well, to some degree, you can understand it by examining a preclear's own universe. This is a datum of gradient magnitude, don't you see? And there is space in a preclear's own universe, and there is space in the physical universe. And these two spaces have a relationship one to the other. The microcosm, in this case, the preclear's universe, containing essentially the same ingredients as the macrocosm, the space of the physical universe. So we have some way of understanding space, and we see much more plainly than before that space is a viewpoint of dimension. You tell a preclear to look out in all directions with his eyes shut, and he actually will create some space unless he's well located in this universe. Similarly, in some fashion or another, we are all looking out from where we are at the vastness of space. Only we're making the error of saying it's here and we have nothing to do with it. I'm afraid we do have something to do. Otherwise, we wouldn't see it. We have agreements on it. We have other people to confirm and prove to us that it does exist, and we have the tickety-talk of time, the no, not no, no, not no. And, of course, we also have will know. You have an expectancy that this space will continue. But nevertheless, the second we say to somebody, there's another universe, he then tries to locate it inside this universe. Because this universe is one of these only one confusions. We have then a confusion brought about by a single datum with no other gradient or comparable magnitude. You see this, then, that would be a confusion too. We start to take it apart, and we take it apart into its parts, and we get into a further confusion because we've never had the basic understanding. So understanding is best achieved by a two-ness. Not even comparable magnitude or gradient magnitude, just a two-ness. Energy, when it plots time, relates one particle to a second particle. And this is very far from an only one universe. Very far from it. It's a multiple universe. Because the space in it, evidently, is being constantly recreated by a great many people and beings having had an impulse in that direction at its origin. And we have then a space which is apparently an only one. Now, I'll show you one of the confusions resulting from this. In earlier times, one superstition or another, and by the way, this is not Christianity I'm talking about earlier material. They used to introduce various heavens, and some were bad and some were good, and it was fascinating to read the descriptions of these heavens. They sometimes had very fancy names, and man would then happily locate these things in trying to understand it inside this universe, and wouldn't be struck at all with the oddity of being told that this other universe was located just north of Mount Olympus or something. If space is a viewpoint of dimension, it does not have to be concurrent with or existing with or adjacent to anything. Have you got it? It's just somebody has an idea elsewhere. To get out of this universe, you simply would have to just not know this universe, bang, and know another universe. And that to get out of depends on the knowingness. That is the root out, and depends also on the ability to not know. Not knowing this takes us out of agreement with, which takes us out of this coexistent space which we have. Follow me? Now, every once in a while you're processing a prickly, he all of a sudden gets an idea of this. He gets some strange idea that there's another universe somewhere, and he'll try to locate it in relationship to this universe, and so we get a singleness of confusion. So a datum is understood in its stability in relationship to the remainder of the confusion. And it's understood because it's understood by a datum of opposite magnitude. It's motionless and the rest is motion, you see. So we've understood something else, and there is a third way we could understand things, isn't there? There's one thing not moving, and now we've got an opposite thing. We have a number of things moving. And so we have an opposite reaction. We understand one by another. One thing is white, another thing is black. So we understand the white thing is white because black things are black. See, that's understanding by opposites. But they're also comparable magnitude, even though opposite, if we're really going to understand the two. All right. In processing a preclear, you are processing somebody who is in the confusion of one, which he very often obsessively solves by denying additional identities, which then, by being denied, overwhelm him, and he becomes a multiple personality. That's the exact sequence of how this occurs. This individual says, I am Joe. I am nobody else but Joe. I don't want to be anybody else but Joe. I am me. I am myself. I am I. And anybody else who comes around here is not me, is not I, and anybody who imitates me ought to be knocked in the head. And then the next thing you know, he gets knocked in the head in some fashion. He wakes up and he's partially in his father's universe, you see. But he knows there's only one universe. First he looks out at this great universe around him and he sees that there's just one consecutive space. Only one. That's an oddity because it makes a trap of all traps. It means that it has no boundaries, no limitations, and there is only a oneness there. And so you cannot escape from something because there's no way to move out of it. Do you get the interesting thing? Actually, it is simply his knowingness of it that puts it there. Therefore, he could not know it and be out of it, just like this. And that is the way of escape. But he knows so well that he is Joel, that he resists anybody else becoming Joe. If you want to see this in extremis, examine the temper of some lady who has just observed another lady wearing a hat just like hers. You will see an immediate reaction. And when they go mad by some fluke or postulate or consideration, they very often then will pick up in sequence or all at once or something all these identities they've resisted. Well, this came about not from resisting identities. Don't, for a moment, look for the answer there. The answer came from this basic error, The basic error, the confusion of oneness, cannot understand self. I'm not like anybody else. What is the difference between these two remarks? There is no difference. I don't understand me because I'm not like anybody else. Now, they get obsessive on this. They say, I am like everybody else, so everybody knows that you get a stomachache when you see green. When you see the color purple, you smell ozone, of course. Don't you? Only they never even say, don't you. Okay? Now, universes are quite dissimilar, but they are a oneness. And they consider themselves a oneness around which, to a marked degree, the space of the universe centers. Of course, because they are always at the center of the universe. They are never at its edges or corners. But they can be in the valence of something which is not where they are, and that is the center of the universe. The fellow who is interiorized into his hometown, although now he is clear down in South Africa, he is still seeing the world from Brighton. Although he's in South Africa. You could even ask him, which way is Cape Town? You see? And he's in Cape Town, and he points south. Cape Town is clear down there. He's still in Brighton, don't you see? So he's still occupying the center of the universe, and that is only a case of being in the valence of Brighton. He's interiorized into an old playing field, Brighton. Well, now, as we look this over casually, we find then that identity plays a very large role because it's an original error. We free this up by one of the oldest processes we have, which is beingness processing. We can ask somebody, who could you be, is the most elementary question. A more modern question is lie about your identity, and an even more modern question than that is invent. On a gradient scale would be lie and invent. Invent an identity. So that his obsessive oneness, you understand it's obsessive, because he is not the beingness he is, because the beingness he is was usually handed to him in some fashion or enforced upon him in some fashion, is not entirely of his own choice. Therefore, he's not free to be anything else but one. Now, we don't care whether a thetan is a single unit or a multiple unit. He, by consideration, could be either. We occasionally get chaps who see everything by remote viewpoints. They exteriorize, they're really not exteriorized. They're still seeing the room from a remote viewpoint, a technical term. They're seeing the room from way over to the right. Actually, they're way over to the left, looking at a point way over to the right, which is seeing the room from there. You see, they're doing an avoider. They're avoiding this point. They're coming off of the center of the universe thing and backing up from it. We don't care whether a thetan is one spot or located or not located or anything else. You see, we just don't care. We couldn't care less. When he's exteriorized, and he says he's exteriorized, and he is seeing the universe, and he can do this and that, he is a stable exterior. Now, we don't care whether he's sitting there as one or a dozen. It's not part of our inquiry, don't you see? But if he is sitting there as a dozen, and we notice it, we generally assume that he is seeing everything by remote viewpoints, and that's the result of his confusion. He sees the front of the room and the back of the room simultaneously. He's looking with two remote viewpoints that he's got confused. There are the drills contained in old Route 1. We'll separate these things out and do remarkable things with these. But if you can understand that his ability to assume a point must be by his own power of choice, we see at once that we must answer in games processing, what team are you? Follow me there? So just as we examine the microcosm of teams and games and so forth, so we could examine almost anything in the same light. If he is one player all by himself, and he can only be one player, we have a case of what we call, in Scientology, the only one. And he's a rough case, because actually he doesn't think anything else is alive. It's one of the interesting things about him. He has to do it all himself to be sure that it is done. There is no cooperation in him. He never lets anybody else play the game. That is the other characteristic. He assumes himself to be one and only one, and therefore that's that. Well, there are many dissertations in PABs and so forth on this only one computation. But when a person gets to be singly one, he ceases to be comprehensible to himself. Do you see how that would follow? And he also ceases to be a team member. Therefore, all of his games are unit games. And they eventually come to be played only by himself, with himself. So he runs out of games and interiorizes and becomes very fouled up in this regard. You see how that would work. Now, we rehabilitate the dynamics. We are simply rehabilitating the willingness of the Thetan to be, first, himself, first dynamic. Second, familial, domestic connections. Sexual or genetic line, you understand. He's willing to follow the genetic line, pick up a body for the next life, you see. That's the second. And the third, he is perfectly willing to be part of or the group. Fourth dynamic, he's willing to be a member of mankind. And he's willing to be mankind. And the fifth, he's willing to be an animal. And to be animals. By the way, this is something that you may find with preclears from time to time. They have played the game of King of the Wood, mentioned by Sir James Fraser in his Golden Bough. And Fraser is doing a great deal of exploration of this thing called King of the Wood. Actually, any Thetan worthy of the name at one time or another has played the game King of the Wood. As a Thetan, without a body, he has safeguarded some strip of woodland and all the animals therein. And it's one of the more pleasant games that he plays. Almost anybody has this on the track. And it isn't weak to like animals, you know. A lot of people think, I'm very weak. I just can't bring myself to be mean to everybody. It's a fairly uptoned remark, you know. But a lot of people who are just splendid guys go around saying, you know, I'm not so good because I can't be tough. It's quite amusing to watch these happen. They are effective people normally, too. There is an obsessive lower harmonic that they have observed where some individual is unable to be positive. You see, been wishy-washy, and they confuse this with being tough. Some guy that's kind, he pervades everything, he can do this and that, he very often will tell you, you know, I really wish I could be hard-boiled. I just don't seem to be. It's quite amusing. The guy has all the capabilities there are, but a lot of people have told him this and have tried to force him back toward only one classification. Such a person, by the way, doesn't think of himself usually as one person. He can be way out through the whole race, you know, in some fashion or another. He's the fellow who goes along and he sees a dog whining on a doorstep and he goes over and opens the door for the dog and closes it and walks on down the street, you know. That isn't because he's upset about animals, it's because he can be a dog. Now, this business about the fifth dynamic and King of the Wood rather falls away in our civilized times because we seldom see any animals around who mount anything. An individual gets rather upset about this. It's a scarcity. Nice trip to the zoo every once in a while is quite refreshing, although you're liable to get upset about all those cages. But on the fifth dynamic, he's able to be an animal, capable of being an animal, and he's capable of being animals. And any other life form. And then we go up to the sixth. What do you know? He's capable of being messed. Or the whole messed universe. Whash. I myself know exactly what I'm talking about with regard to that because at one time I got interiorized into a typewriter. And I was very unwilling to do this. I was very tired and I'd been writing very, very hard. And I was right down on those keys, crashity, 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 crash. I was writing some articles on Dianetics. And the next thing you know, I could see the keys above me, and I wasn't functioning. And I'd lost a frontal barrier, and it sailed on through and hit the typewriter, you know, just by pressure. I had to claw myself around, get back of the head, and take over the body and keep on writing. But I only did it because I changed my mind about it. I said, what? I'm being a typewriter. Wow, this is something I don't want anything to do with. This is an unemotional thing. There's no fun being a typewriter. I'm the guy that pounds typewriters. You know? I pound on bodies to pound typewriters. I'm in the wrong place, you see, resistance. Then I got amused about the whole thing. There's really nothing wrong with being a typewriter. And immediately I could be back in my head again. I probably could have stayed there for a half an hour fighting the typewriter, you know. I don't want to be this typewriter. The dickens with this typewriter. The longer I would have fought being the typewriter, the less likelihood I would have had of easily steering myself out of the typewriter. That's only the kind of a silly situation that a Thetan exterior could get into. and so on, because he has a tendency to dispense with a great deal of barriers. Now, ordinarily, a person running on automatic would simply run into his frontal barriers, you see, and he'd hit those and kind of stuck and said, I feel tired, and gone to sleep and woke up the next morning free of them. This is probably the way it would have gone. A silly adventure, but I know how it feels to be a typewriter, you see. I've thought about it since. I said, that's the way a typewriter feels. And I've occasionally gone around and been a truck. You know, a truck going down the street. Run along being a truck. Now, all liking does not come about from having resisted, but the emotion of liking something can obsessively be brought about from having resisted. It's the lower harmonic. There are lower harmonics which insult the upper harmonics. You never want to get caught into that trap of believing that something is bad simply because you have seen it echoed by a psycho. You've seen it echoed by a psycho. The psycho obsessively combs his hair. You're auditing him, you know. He obsessively combs his hair, stands in front of a mirror. By the hour, combing his hair, combing his hair, combing his hair, combing his hair. You audit him. Come in the bathroom next morning. Pick up your comb. You're going to comb your hair. Oh, no. Run your fingers through it and skip it. Now, combing the hair is being done on an obsessive basis with him, and so you don't care to imitate him. You get out and be. There's nothing wrong with combing the hair. So is there nothing wrong with liking these. But I've become enamored with London buses. I just love the way those motors turn over. You hear those beautiful push rods going in there and so on. And I noticed something the other day. The change had taken place. I always used to hate Greece. And I changed my mind about grease. I got some grease. I was fixing the machine. I got some grease on my cuff and fingers and so forth. I just used to despise this kind of an activity. And I found out, well, that's quite interesting, you know. Later on, washed my hands. I found all of a sudden, you know, that didn't worry me. It's the first time I ever did. It came from the fact that much earlier, it was true that I didn't like motors. They were doing things that I could do. I was jealous of them. And there is where the Thetan hangs up on the sixth dynamic. Jealousy. The sixth dynamic harmonics against the second dynamic, and we get jealousy. And you try to process jealousy on the second dynamic, you'll never get there. What you do to process jealousy is to process the sixth dynamic. All right, we'll get back on the groove here, and we discover when an individual is forced into a category of being just one. He's just one identity, and the whole world seems to connive to make him just one identity. He himself has a tendency to fall away from being capable of teamwork or cooperation, and therefore is limited on the third dynamic, and is limited on all the other dynamics. As we get up to the seventh dynamic, of course, we're getting up into the esoteric, esoteric, esoterics. Can one Thetan be another Thetan? I do a pretty good job of it occasionally. It's a lot of fun. It's very easy to impersonate another Thetan. There's nothing to it. You just approximate his wavelength. They have characteristic wavelengths. They do various things to identify themselves. But we don't care about that one way or the other. That's parascientological data. And when we get to the eighth dynamic, we're so far out beyond anything that we are studying that to talk about it very much is merely to upset people. They come in with the littleness of their knowledge. They come in and they tell you all about God. Well, I don't pretend to be that smart. I don't pretend at any one time to be clever enough to know the anatomy of the Supreme Being. I don't call him by his first name. I don't know if he's there, you know. I have evidence to the effect that he's a collective being. Well, people get interiorized into being him. See, quote, being him, unquote. They get interiorized in it, and you'll find people walking around being God. Well, if you were in really good shape, you could feel just like you were a god permeating it all, or located in one space, or anything you wanted to. I'm afraid you wouldn't be patting yourself on the back about it. You'd just be feeling natural. You get the idea. It seemed perfectly reasonable to you. But the fellow who has to go around insisting he's God has got something wrong with him, I assure you of that. And the chap who comes around and explains to people who know a lot more than anybody else knows on this planet at this time concerning the human spirit, the soul, anatomy, the storm gods of the Caribbean, and the guy's on very good acquaintance with one of the storm gods over in India, but I can't understand the guy's sense of humor. I never get his point. Comes back and gives me a bunch of jokes. Flat. I laugh to be polite, but I don't just understand it, that's all. I do not see how it is funny to omit throwing whirlwinds around. You will not do it. And this becomes hilariously funny. It doesn't seem funny at all. And they explain to you, well, it is the season for whirlwinds, and I'm supposed to, and I don't. And you say, well, but that's because you're not playing the game of being a storm god anyplace else. And I suppose the god of hurricanes, if there is such a Thetan running a bunch of hurricanes down in the Caribbean, I suppose he would consider this enormously funny and probably howl and laugh and send out a few blasts of circular storms, the like of which the Caribbean hadn't seen for some time. Probably lose control. He says, thinks it's the funniest thing he ever heard. Right there in his game, you see. But just as we wouldn't understand this parascientology on the seventh dynamic very easily ourselves, unless we ourselves had to some slight degree experienced it, so I don't think we've got an awful lot of chance of understanding the eighth dynamic that thoroughly. I think somebody who comes around and tells me all about it is the same kind of guy who would come around also and tell me he knew all about typesetting through having dropped a slug of type on a toe once. You know, it's usually the same kind of guy. So I'm perfectly willing to learn about this sort of thing, but I rather consider it's out of my field. I don't interfere in that direction. I hope that direction doesn't interfere in this direction. You get the idea. I mean, my attitude is very open-minded about the whole thing. The point that I'm making, however, is a willingness there must exist. And we don't even say anything about the identity or the actuality of the beingness. But certainly a willingness must exist in some degree, because individuals go mad and become God. We can find them in insane asylums. So they must have resisted an identity of some kind or another to have gotten that involved in this identity. Follow me? But again, we do not understand that game entirely, unless we look at ourselves making our own universes, and then I suppose we could understand how that game could exist and how we could associate ourselves as an only one Thetan making an only one universe. See, this would be fairly easy. You'd at least have a gradient scale datum. But that's pretty hard to grasp. So the best place for an auditor to audit is right on up there into the lower ranges of seven, where you can well comprehend that you, say, be 3 feet back of your head to about 50% of the human race, and they will be. And then they do things and can control bodies and do various things which are quite comprehensible. If they go on up from there, they very often get out of even their own reach. They scare themselves half to death and come down to merely being a Thetan exterior. It's hard to kick people up above that level. Now we talk about this factor of operating Thetan. It takes practically an operating Thetan to make an operating Thetan, because the guy goes out of hand and control from stable Thetan exterior. And we're into a realm where understanding itself, depending as it does upon logic and communication, fails in its task. And there's where communication is failing to a marked degree today. But by golly, we've certainly made it work all the rest of the distance. And that's just about 80,000 leagues further than it's ever worked before. So we have a fairly good grip on it, and auditor ought to content himself fairly well with going up to the lower ranges of the seventh dynamic. And remember that this is simply willingness to be one of that category, undynamic, or the whole dynamic, and willingness to be that. So why? Why should he do this? Because there are games at each one of those levels that the auditor himself could comprehend. games of storm gods and things like this. Just why it's funny to sink a battleship, I wouldn't know. I don't consider it funny. So I must be on the other side of that game to some degree. But the games which are played from dynamics 1 to lower 7 are very comprehensible. The uppermost game that an auditor encounters and has to handle vitally is simply this one. Thetan, all of a sudden, looks over, sees a black box, says, "What's that?" Opens it up, surprised. Right, well, he's mocked it up. He's not known that he mocked it up. He's put something in it. He's not known that he put something in it. He's forgotten all about it. Now he says, "Well, here I am, sailing down the sky," and so on. "Goodness, what's that black box?" "Oh, am I frightened? Or am I surprised?" Get the idea? That is an only one game on the lower and lowest level of the seventh dynamic. That is an only one game. Another only one game. They can play games with themselves, and you must understand this, because these games become more and more involved as we get down into the messed categories. Thetan, feeling fine, doing all right, and all of a sudden he gets zapped. He didn't do a thing. He was minding his own business. He wasn't protesting in any direction. And all of a sudden something located him and half shorted out all of his condensers. What a dirty trick. He comes around and he tells you sadly about this. "Yes, I was feeling all right last night," on the lower echelon, body-wise, first dynamic. "I was feeling all right last night. And all of a sudden it struck me that maybe it all wasn't true. And I just feel horrible now. And you, sucker, get in and process it." What have you hit? You've hit an only one game on the lower order of the seventh dynamic being dramatized on the first dynamic. The first dynamic, by rights, does contain the various elements which you behold in people as they walk around. It contains the elements, the freedom potential only, a thing. The mind consisting of a reactive bank, a somatic bank, a standard memory bank, a brain, various control factors, short circuits and liaisons. That's a mind. And on the third level, havingness, which is a body. And then additional havingness, the physical universe in which it exists and the universes of others around it. Now that is the three factors of a game expressed in terms of body, because the thetan is freedom, potential, the mind is problems, potential, and the havingness is body, physical universe, which he doesn't have much of either. Almost potential, too. He's kind of faded out. But that is a complete first dynamic, isn't it? Until we turn the clock all the way around and find out just ahead of that, we find seventh, or maybe even eighth dynamic, you see? He's got a new set of games, however, so it's a different state. But what we consider the first dynamic today has parts. We really just now found the first dynamic, you see? We talked about it for a long time, didn't know quite what its anatomy was. And to think of a dynamic having an anatomy was quite strange. But we see people around all the time named Bill, Joe, and Pete, Mabel, and Agnes, who have these characteristics and who are themselves capable with those characteristics and in that framework of being an only one and playing only one games, you see? So we have that. All right. So it exists. But what is this other game? He just felt fine and all of a sudden he felt horrible. That's a self-invalidating mechanism. He's booby-trapped his own universe so that if he goes across a certain area or thinks a certain thought with relationship to his own universe, a machine or some such mechanism will actually zap him. How a thetan can be zapped is a mystery known only to a thetan. And the answer to it is a mystery. But that is self-invalidation. Invalidation on its messed level is being struck. Its lightest level is criticism. You see? So we have invalidation. You invalidate somebody. You've given him a key and on having been struck a blow. There's a game on this basis, you see, and that is that game, where his opponent is a machine or a booby trap or a trick mechanism of some sort or another. It is the other side. Now, he can also be the machine which zaps him and be the trap which traps him. You take some fellow who's having an awfully bad time, and don't run this process unless you just are making a test. You say, all right, now what can you be? And he tells you, I can be a fly, paper. You say, that's fine. Now what can you be? I can be a fly. Well, all right, that's fine. Now be a fly, be the fly paper. Be the fly, be the fly paper. Be the fly, be the fly paper. The awfulest, horriblest degradation may start to run off the case. What you're really running is be the trap, be the Thetan. Be the trap, be the Thetan. He can adequately be the trap, but after a while he says, you know, I think there's a Thetan in this trap. I think there's a Thetan in me here someplace. I'm getting sure of it. You say, be the Thetan, be the trap, be the Thetan, be the trap. And, I don't know. Yes, sir, there is one. Right over there. Be the Thetan, be the trap, be the Thetan, be the trap, be the Thetan, be the trap. Oh, do I feel degraded. And he will. The most horrible degradation you ever heard of will start to run off. And then all of a sudden, he'll say, you know, I am the Thetan. And there is the trap. That manifestation is an inversion. That's what we call an inversion. A person has become something else while really being the other thing and is disassociated from it to that degree. He's transferred identities, don't you see, from one to the other. Well, that's kind of a level of game, too, where the trap won. Trap won, so now he's the trap. He wants to be a winner. If he's obsessed with winning, he will always simply be the winning mass or the winning identity. It's not for nothing. I suppose the kids in 330 B.C. went running around every place, being Alexander the Great and stabbing Persians. I suppose, undoubtedly, that this occurred. They were simply assuming a winning valence so that they could win. Now, we see variances along and up and down this line, and the winning of a game is actual permission to go on playing the game, and the losing of the game is to lose the game, to either have to leave it on a compulsive basis and so take some pictures of it, along, or actually just interiorize into it. We won't go into that anatomy any further. We could be entirely too Germanic and painstaking about the exact anatomy of what happens to a Thetan when he wins and loses, because they're quite variable. All right. Now, we could look over the picture of a Thetan playing a game, and we could discover then that he plays any game as well as he is capable of being his own side. And then knowing from there on which is his own side and not getting confused about it. But how about the fellow who's only one? He's subject to confusion, isn't he? He has no other particle of comparable magnitude, so he can get confused about which side he is on. The only game he can play is to be both sides. And we get only ones being remarkably unfaithful in various ways. The main thing that you understand here then, that a person has to be capable of being one or all of any dynamic, which also includes being part of any dynamic, in order to have a game at that level. You see? Otherwise, his games are inverted games of the only one category. He's just out in the more and more confusions. One kind of, he gets lost. He's no longer playing a game. The rehabilitation of the dynamics, then, are the rehabilitations of membership of teams, being able to select out one's enemies, barriers. What are we after here, you see? And the individual's capability in playing games then depends to a very large degree on his ability to be singly or collectively any dynamic, right? His ability to play a game must be that. Therefore, to totally play the game of regulating the messed universe, you certainly have to be capable of being the sixth and the seventh and the eighth, wouldn't you? So the capability on these dynamics is very much the point. And I am sure that your best gauge of exactly what the pre-clear is up to and what is limiting him is, one, the three things, freedom, problems, havingness, and two, Dynamics. See, where's he playing this game? The fellow fighting himself is playing an only one game. Now, that could be lower seven if he's exteriorized, or it's the lower end of the first. See? But you ask a fellow what he could fight normally, and he'll tell you, quite frankly, he can fight himself. You ask him that question, what could you fight? He'll eventually say himself. That's the state most men are in today. Lower first dynamic. So there's a big range to go, isn't there? Big range. Also, most of the fun is on the wider range. Quite amusingly true, because playing a game with no other side present is not much fun. You've got to have another side in order to have any fun out of it at all. There must be action and counteraction and reaction. There must be the activity of being reached and reaching in order to see any interactivity which you could call a game. So, the game, however, is very harmful to a fate in that he can lose it and so lose some of his own capabilities. So you'd say, well, why does he play games if it's this harmful? Well, we then have to ask the lower question, is it really? Or is the harm he is suffering some other game? You get the idea. A Thetan, by the way, I tell you this, I've told you before, you never handle conditions. A condition can be anything. It's a chameleon. It's something you don't process as such. If there's something wrong with a fellow's legs, you process legs. You don't process crippledness. See, it's very important. Process terminals. And if you process terminals, you'll discover that he normally hasn't a good conception of another terminal. Man, in his lower one condition. You have to get him then into some conception of a lower terminal before he'd be able to begin to have another side, wouldn't you? Well, the funny part of it is you have to look lower than this. You have to look at goalposts as usually the first entrance on a case. Goalposts. That'd be usual. But a case that was real well off, you could only look at penalties. Now, almost any process of Scientology could be processed successfully if you found out how it applied to games processing and then processed it that way, you see. You'd have to balance up as you processed the amount of freedom necessary to it, no matter what way you did that, the amount of problems in it, and the amount of happiness. Now, there's another point, though, that you're liable to miss here in this circa year six after Dianetics. The point you're liable to miss. And that is that most of your preclears have no reality on a second terminal, and so there's no other team. So their games are interior games, a very peculiarly involved nature. And they are basically the game of mocking up a box, not knowing they mock up in a box, finding something and being surprised. And that's one game. And the other game is they walk past a certain point, you know, as a Thetan, and they get zapped. That's invalidation. These are the two lowest of these games. They don't have any other side connected with them, really, you see. And there being no other side, the data of comparable magnitude becomes the messed, the masses, the pieces of play, the hockey stick, not the hockey team. And so, as an only one, they, of course, are forced to face the tools of play and so are really not engaged in a game. And you find out that once one gets really engaged in a game, the tools of play become secondary and people pull out of it rather easily. So we have to rehabilitate this in order to get him up toward terminals. And we're usually processing him pretty low on the line. Now, there's two sides to a game. There's your own unattainable, protectable sphere that must not be reached. You see? There's that, your goalpost, in front of which you're standing both as a guard and as an offensive player, if you're really doing a good job. And there's the other fellow's goalpost, the other team's goalpost, or several other goalposts. Most people are playing games like sitting in the middle of a field that would, like airplane runways in the country with a variable wind. Their playing fields go out in several directions from them and end in several different goalposts. And they kind of have unattainables for each one of the games that lead toward them, you see. And if you're a preclear, never attacks and cannot attack and cannot, let's say he could protect a little bit. Let's say he could recover from a penalty if he cannot even vaguely attack in any direction. Why, he still never will have a game with any other team in it, is it? And it's going to be on this deadly dull level. Now, I've spoken of this particular game of mocking up a box and finding something in it to be surprised about, and getting zapped from one of your own machines, I think you'd consider this rather dull, wouldn't you? Isn't that a rather dull game? Well, that's the funny part of it, but a lower level only one, see, first dynamic, is only playing games of that nature. They're that stupid, see? And he's bored with them, as he naturally would be. He's looking for another team. He's sitting in penalties, see? But look, freedom has to do with the freedom of the other side. And one's own freedom. And freedom has to do with both the ability to entrap or take it away or restore it for the other side or for oneself, you see? That's freedom of choice. On freedom. So it applies to the other side and applies to the guy. Both to give it and take it away. See, both of those choices must be necessary to play this game. Ever play a game called Prisoner's Base? Well, you never want a game called Prisoner's Base unless you were capable of grabbing one of the players on the other team and jolly well slapping him onto the base and saying, now you stay there until tagged, you know. You had to be willing to trap to some degree, but you also had to be willing to let him go when one of his fellow teammates came over and tagged him, you know. That was also necessary to the playing of the game. Now, the way a game deteriorates is to be less and less willing to let him go after you trapped him. Until after a while, nobody will play the game anymore, and one just kind of figures out he's still got him. That's a psycho. Psycho walk around talking to imaginary people. See, they're trapped prisoners that aren't there anymore. They were unwilling to let them go. So there's two sides to this freedom thing, which develop immediately into four sides, right? For the other team, free, let them go. Got it? And for self, free, and trap and let them go. Now, let's be more positive there. Trap, let go, and trap, let go. 4 points on freedom alone. Now, how about problems? There's problems for self, creation of, and problems for self, solving of. Person have to do both of these things in order to be free of game for himself and unfortunately for the other guy. He has to be willing and able to pose a problem to the other team if he's going to play a game, right? There's absolute necessity, one of the requisites. And he has to be able also to solve the other team's problem. He posed it, he should be able to solve it, don't you see? Otherwise, the game is liable to go past the hour and that's allotted for it and get all mixed up and get miserably messy. He posed a problem that he can't solve either. You know, and the game then just bogs. Unsolvable problem. Did you ever play charades when they'd given you no person? Or whatever the name of the game is. They'd given you no person as the person. Here we have in havingness the same thing. You've got to let the other fella have it. Or make him incapable of having it. And you yourself have got to have it or get rid of it in order to have it all, right? So there's havingness on that parallelism. And you understand that we're describing a circle then when we're describing freedom, problems, and havingness, because havingness, remedy of, runs around to separateness, which gets around to freedom, doesn't it? There's a circle there. They're really not on a straight line. All right. Now, as we look over this, then we find out that the gravest difficulty with the individual will probably be penalties, but how about penalties for the other side? Can he give the other fellow penalties? That's quite interesting if you were hitting him at that lowest level. You'd certainly have to deal with the other side too, wouldn't you? And this we saw in its earliest form in brackets. For some reason or other, brackets were quite workable in early Scientology, and this is why they were workable, because you're you're processing both teams. All right? Now, an individual doesn't necessarily have to be pan-determined in every degree, slightest thing. And after all, if you were totally pan-determined all the time, you'd never have any game anywhere, would you? So an individual, then, has to be able to take it or hand it out. He should be able to let other teammates free or entrap them. He should be able to pose them problems or solve their problems. He should be able to let them have things and take things away from them. So we find very few pre-clears on a lower stretch will do this. Very few. They will not let anyone else free. This is almost a normal pre-clear. They won't let somebody else free. They won't, and don't dare give anybody else a problem. They themselves cannot pose a problem to somebody else. And they themselves are friendly about it, but they don't quite like the other fellow having anything. And they certainly object when they see somebody take something away from the other fellow. Quite often, because it's liable to happen to them, too. Well, they've fallen this far back out of a game. Now, perhaps there are many ways this could be handled, but certainly we have to handle both sides of this. There is one process with regard to this. Consequences. If you were to run consequences, you would probably find a certain adequacy in its action. The consequences of freeing people. The consequences of not freeing people. Of enslaving people. The consequences of posing problems to others. The consequences of solving other people's problems. The consequences of other people having things. The consequences of taking things away from other people. And their consequences fits in. And so do many of these other old-time processes fit in, but there is an immediate use of consequences as an example in the processing of games. Now, this doesn't give you a vast array of processes which you're going to stumble over. All of this is rather precise. You don't have to do too much of it. But it allows the auditor a little more leeway today than he had before, providing he looks over and is within his reality that he is actually processing in a pre-clear game. And if this is within his reality and he knows the parts of games, somewhat as I have laid down to you in the last few lectures here, if he knows these parts of games, and additional parts will probably show up from time to time, become the rage or the fad. We're now processing footballs and find it does wonderfully. Success of an auditing session is fairly well assured if he remembers to remedy havingness, remedy problems, and remedy situations regarding freedom. He has to do those three things, whatever else he does, because we know those three things are actually necessary. Barriers, of course, and havingness. Barrier is havingness that is a problem. And from which one would like to be free, or from which one wouldn't like to be free. Simply mocking up barriers can produce a result in a case. All right. So we have these various balanced processes. The thing to know about them is to keep them in balance, no matter what you process on a pre-clear, because you start to let one of them go too long without doing one or the other one, your pre-clear skids. Well, I hope this information can be of service to you in processing individuals and groups, and I'm sure that it has already. Thank you very much.